This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio, Irirangi o Whaingaroa. Hello, kia ora, my name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today, to help us on that path, I have the awesome Chawi, all the way from Tauranga. How are you doing?
Hi, guys. I am very well. Nice to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I came across you on on one of my mock Facebook accounts that I use for just to connect to the Spirit Tribe group on Facebook. And yeah, and I really love that you talk about holistic health and holistic healing. That's what I'm all about. I'm all about the big picture of things. And you got many titles. And I was wondering, how did you get into this work?
Through my own journey, honestly, it was probably been about 8 years of really dedicated personal development, spiritual development work. And that came from 10 years of depression, postnatal depression, being in a trauma environment as I was young. So the first dive into it was me working out ways to holistically look after myself, learn about psychology, work out how to transmute self-limiting beliefs, dive deeper into my physical wellness, my emotional wellness. And when I started seeing the changes in me, all of a sudden, I kind of had these epiphanies of, if I can break cycles, you know, if I can change these things within myself, I feel like anybody can. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, I came across Reiki and was blown away with Held in Spaces with energy work and had amazing experiences, which then led to someone saying, I think that maybe you should look into this as a practitioner. And yeah, from then on, it was kind of just boom, 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 and this is definitely where I'm meant to be.
Wow, I feel like I'm speaking to my twin soulmate.
Yeah.
But I call you 10 years and I raise you 16, so.
Yeah, I'm sure you have some wisdom for me.
Yeah, no, we've all got wisdom to share. Pretty much the same thing. Like, if someone like me could change, I thought, whoa, there's hope for everyone else then. Because I really felt stuck, you know, like really stuck. But somehow I got through on the other side, and that's what I try to help others see, that there is another side and another way.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's begin there. With Reiki, how has that helped you, and what do you think about this energy work?
So when I first experienced it, I actually had no idea what it was. Someone's like, do you want to jump on the table and do some Reiki? I was like, okay. And I remember feeling bliss. I remember feeling calm and peace. And at this stage, I was definitely sitting in, you know, without putting too many titles on it, but like high functioning anxiety disorder, that kind of stuff was happening at that point in my life. I was going through a huge breakup. I've got 3 young children and they were very young at that point. And so I was in quite a frantic state, to be honest. I wasn't really grounded. And my first experiences of it were feeling centered, feeling nurtured, feeling the physical sensations in my body. Being on the table was wild to me. Like, I remember tingling, you know, I remember heat, and I thought, wow, this is incredible. And then it was through starting my training that I started understanding the actual science behind it and realizing that it actually all makes sense, both logistically and spiritually, in so many ways. And so when I first started my training, for me, it was actually for my own growth, my own personal journey. And I say that to everyone, especially Reiki Level 1, you know, for us as humans to become more attuned to our own energy field, to the energy fields of others, to having tools to be able to bring that higher vibration in, cleanse the space, cleanse ourselves.
I got my Reiki Level 1 last year, actually.
Oh, yay! Yeah. I think everyone should. I had a client who said, I think all children leaving primary intermediate should be attuned to Reiki Level 1. That would change the world, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Wow. And then as my journey progressed, and I guess it's very parallel to as my personal spiritual development journey progressed, and then I was holding more and more space as a practitioner, I started having phenomenal experiences. So I would have people come on my table and have huge emotional releases, you know, because when we're holding them in that space of safety and they can feel in our energy that there's safety and there's no judgment, and we're channeling in that higher vibration healing, the body is allowed and able to complete stress cycles. So So those stress cycles are often completed through emotional release and movement. And the last, I'd say, year in the space I'm holding now as a practitioner and also the Reiki I do myself, honestly, it's mind-blowing. Like, people are having epiphanies. They're having huge emotional releases. They're feeling sensations shift. They're having memories coming up to be processed. So it's a modality. However, it can be whatever it needs to be because, you know, our souls completely guide the experience when we come into holistic wellness practices, right? And so I love it. Whenever I have clients on the table now, I'm like, so who knows where this is going to go? Your soul is guiding it. It could be a spiritual experience. It could be a very physical experience. There could be release of pain. And I mean, I'm still blown away by the experiences I have with energy work.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, I mean, I did Reiki on myself every night for a consistent period, and it was really good. It really helped with my sleep and balancing. And I know you say that there's science to this, and science is okay, you know, but what's more important is your experience of something. I think we put too much stock in science today.
Yeah, I think it's really beautiful, though, that science is catching up to what we already inherently know, right? So because I have probably 50-50 in terms of my male-female client base now, I have a lot of men in particular that come to me for the first time ever. I'd be like, I don't even know what this is, but I'm drawn to you, or someone's recommended this. Maybe they've got physical things, maybe emotional things. And especially for the logic-based mind, I love being able to bring in the science of energy and vibration and frequency now. You know, that we feel it. And also, here's all of these beautiful pieces of research that are proving what we already knew.
Yeah. It's great. Okay, so we've just plugged in a mic, so Chawi sounds a bit more
hi guys
present.
Thanks, Zoom.
Yeah, thanks, Zoom. Okay, so that's you as a Reiki practitioner and teacher. You've also got a title of Love Alchemist. Can you explain that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing that's been the foundation for me and my own journey has been this returning to love. You know, my belief system is that all humans are born love. We're born as love frequency. We are born knowing that we are worthy of love, of giving, receiving. I spent 10 years working in the education sector. And from what I saw with very young children is when you see a baby or a toddler or a young person, they don't know hate. They don't know division. They don't think that they're not worthy. They don't look at their bodies and hate them. We're born as very beautiful, loving essences in ourselves. And so my belief is that all that we need to do in order to come back into our wholeness is to remember that we are loving beings, and we're not needing to go anywhere we haven't been. We're returning to our natural state, right? And so
it sounds familiar, that return to love. I feel like I've heard that
return
somewhere.
Return to love.
Is that a book or a movie or something?
Is it going to be my book I'm writing? I don't know.
I don't know. I've heard that before. But that's true, because I teach that in workshops. I say, I'm not here to teach you anything new. I'm here to remind you of things.
Yes. Yeah. Deep remembering, right? And so I love the term alchemy, you know, spiritual alchemist. It is this transmuting, and it's just taking all those stories that are fear-based, that are self-limiting, that are around anything that isn't love-based, gratitude-based, and we're just transmuting them back into love frequency. And that's that remembering process, right? So when I'm holding myself or others, whether one-on-one or in group settings, we're just taking people back home, which is to love, to where that frequency sits of knowing that we are here worthy of everything in life, and that anything else is a lie, and we get to transmute that.
Okay, here's a question I like to ask people. What does love mean to you? How do you define love? So when you say I love you, or when someone says they love you, what are you hearing? What are you feeling?
Oh, instantly what comes to mind is the actions that come through the expression. You know, I believe that love is a doing. It's a feeling, and it's also a doing. Love to me is consistency. It is integrity. It is loyalty. It is, I am here in my wholeness, and I see you in your wholeness. I do not need you to complete me, but I am here as a sovereign being, as you are. And I open my heart to it. There's one concept that I teach a lot, and that is open-hearted connection without attachment. And so it's going, you know, love is, I am committed to showing up in my truest essence and journeying with you and you and you also, and seeing that love within you, but I also give you your sovereignty in that journey. Mm. Yeah.
So similar to namaste, where you recognize the divine within, but that we are our own thing as well. Yeah, and just what you're saying, like I know that everything you need to be, you know, happy, whole, complete, peaceful, loving, and joyful is already within.
Yeah.
However, 100%. In order to bring a lot of who you are out into the world, you need to be in relationship with others. So mm-hmm. No man is an island. You got everything you need, but in order to express everything you have, that can only happen in relationship with other people, other places, and other things. So does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. You know, I think we have to break through a lot of a societal conditioning around hyper-independence as a trauma response. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of us in these journeys of self-discovery have had parts of our journey has been very alone, right? There's been massive loneliness and a lot of what we had to go through. And I feel as if we're all remembering the village. We're not supposed to be in it alone. I say to so many people, sure, you could be doing this work by yourself, and you have to be okay with those moments where it is very inside, right? There are definitely parts of our lives that we have to be okay with being in our aloneness. However, we're sentient beings. We're meant to connect. We're meant to interact. We learn through our mirroring, you know, through the balance of our energies and through the learning of other people's experiences. I love the concept of, but my favorite quote ever is, shame dies when stories are told in safe places. And it's that dilution of the shame, the fear, the guilt that can live within us when we find those people that are the safe spaces. And then the stories of our lives end up being this big tapestry. Like, we're more similar than we think we are, right? And it takes the connecting and the being okay to connect in safe places for us to realize that.
Yeah, it's like we all have a different external experience. We all look differently on the outside. Everything on the outside in this world and how we go through it looks different, and it's different, but everything inside, the feelings, the emotions, the thoughts, the ups and the downs, it's all exactly the same. Exactly the same. One man's trash is another man's treasure, meaning one person's rape as a kid is just as significant as another person's father not looking at them and not hearing them and not seeing them. Even though they weren't physically hurt, they were traumatically they were harmed in a energetic way, you know, emotionally. Yeah. So we can't judge and compare. It's all about, that's a human, I'm a human. That means we're going through the same experience, different journeys on the outside, but to me on the inside it's the exact same journey.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's such a beautiful point. You know, there is no comparison. There is only finding the parts that we can relate to and go, hey, your story isn't exactly the same as mine, but that feeling, that I felt that. And so have you. And you're not alone in the feeling of that feeling, right?
Mm. Yeah. And when you talk about shame, especially in the West, you know, if you think of shame as an energy that relates to our second chakra, which is also dealing with sexual energy. And in the West, sex is so taboo still. And really, it's, sex is life, you know, it creates life. It's part of life. Everything in the universe is about creation, which is, and it's also, yeah, it's not just the act of sex I'm talking about the creative energy, the energy to create things. And in the West that has been quite suppressed, so I can understand why many people, including myself, you know, we've had shame around everything, not just that but other aspects, and it just comes up. And it's good to have that space, like that quote you said is so awesome, where shame goes, you know, it disappears, and then you can just be and share your story and who you really are.
Love and it. I think more people than anything are just looking for safe places, you know. And I shared something recently around this piece on, we're all healers because we all can be safe spaces for somebody, for ourselves initially, and then for other people.
Yeah, I have a bit of a that word safe. It kind of there's a little trigger there for me, because there's, you know. Today we are creating too much safety. I believe we've gone into the other extreme, where we're not letting children get exposed to certain things, climbing trees, breaking arms, getting scrapes.
Oh, yeah, no, that's bull crap.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you know, for me, when I talk to people and I sign off. I don't like to say stay safe. I like to say stay free, stay strong, be courageous, you know, anything but safe. I don't want to be protected. I want to be strengthened, encouraged, supported. There's nothing wrong with being, so maybe this is just my own personal thing.
Comfort feels like the word, right? Don't stay comfortable. Like, don't stay comfortable. I got three kids and I'm all about pushing the edges and learning through healthy risk taking. You know, I was always that teacher. I was like, let them jump, see what happens.
That's me too.
You know, it has to be. We can't keep them, and we can't keep them comfortable or ourselves comfortable forever. Otherwise, we are stagnant and then we're just dying. Otherwise, you know, if we're not in a state of evolution, well, then we're just sitting in a place of stagnation and we're not going to learn anything. We're not going to go anywhere. Comfort is the bane of everything, right? So it's allowing ourselves to be in discomfort.
There's nothing wrong with having moments of comfort, but to live there.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my little rant over.
I love it.
Next, you say here, one of your titles is light speaker. Light speaker. Okay. What are we talking about here?
So probably about a year ago. No, probably about a year and a half ago, I was exposed to light language in some sacred spaces with a couple of friends of mine, and I didn't know what it was. And I was just like, okay, but I felt it. I felt these two particular friends of mine, as we were in sacred spaces, speaking a dialect that was not English and was not familiar to me, but being in its presence energetically, I was like, whoa, it was like a Reiki session, you know? I was like, whoa, I can feel that. And this feels very ancient. It feels like a resurrection of ancient wisdom. And that was my experience of it. I was like, cool. And then I was doing a 4-week journey with a client of mine. And I'd done some work with her prior. So she's coming to see me every week for 4 weeks. And we were doing Reiki sessions together. In the second session, I begin every session with clients calling in our non-physical angel spirits, guides, guardians, whoever is in alignment with love to come and support us during this time. And during that particular session, I very much felt the presence of an energy worker that was in spirit, that was not here, come and ask to support me during my my time with my client. I said yes. And as she came in, I felt her presence there. I then opened my mouth and a dialect came out. And there are lots of different, I realize now, records of what we can call light language, language of the angels, speaking in tongues. It's very, very similar. It's all very much the same thing. And I opened my mouth and a dialect started coming out. It never happened to me before. I was like, okay, what is this? I just went with the absolute surrender, trust. And what I found was, as I was doing energy work, this language that was moving through me was heightening the movement, the alchemizing of stagnant energy. My client was having very, very big emotional releases, movement in her body. She was having jolts. She was having shaking, all these kinds of things that were moving. From that day, it has stayed with me. And so when I'm working with clients, most of the time, and it's not a very loud, it will often come through just in mumbling. And all that I do is allow myself to be an open vessel, just like anything in life. And we surrender, the modalities come, the insights come. And this is something that's come through to me. And in recent months, when I've been doing group spaces where I've got friends that are also bringing in the modalities of breath work, sound healing, all different kinds of things, we are having very big trauma releases in these spaces. And what's coming through me in those times in terms of vocally is sounding. So often if I've got a client that is about to do a big release and I can feel it moving, my voice will start coming through just as notes often, as if it is the frequency of that chakra point that is wanting to come through. Yeah. And so either as dialect or literally just as notes or as sounds, that then heightens the release, and the client will often match me there, or I'll be able to bring out the release through that. Almost like singing in some way, but it comes through differently and it stays at particular frequencies and notes when I'm opening my mouth to bring it through. And fascinatingly enough, a lot of people that have been in collaborative spaces with me now, they're now doing the same. Like, we're doing a lot of sounding and movement through our voice activation as well.
Okay, so it's like Reiki with the mouth.
yeah, that's probably one of the best ways to describe it. It is an energy alchemizing and transmuting through the vocal, through the voice box. Yeah.
Voice box. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love awesome singing voices. It's actually healing.
Absolutely, yeah.
For me, I just, I follow all these great singers around the world. A lot of them people don't really know, but they're like really beautiful singers, technical singers, gospel singers, soulful singers. And yeah, I put those on and I'm just in this space of balance and peace.
Soul feels it, right? It really feels it. And when you think, say, of that, of these really powerful singers, what an incredible throat chakra activation, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting because as I reclaimed my voice and my sovereignty and my freedom and my ability to articulate my thoughts, my emotions, through practicing of effective communication, all of a sudden now these modalities started coming through my voice. So I was like, well, hand in hand.
Yeah, and that's it. No, I mean, yeah, the fact that you say that, I'm just thinking now that's probably why I love awesome voices, is because for me growing up, I wasn't able to speak. I wasn't allowed to speak freely and ask questions and do all these things. So it's taken a while for me to find my voice. So when I hear one that's just divine, I'm just, it hits me personally because, it's true. My throat chakra has been blocked for quite a while. But not anymore.
No, I was waiting for that.
Okay. All right. Last title here, I see. You are a pleasure and intimacy coach. Ooh, sounds exciting. What, can you talk about that one?
I know. Oh, it's so funny when people first meet me, they're like, what do you do? And then they're like, wait, what? this has been such a beautiful journey. So I, about 2 years ago, this is actually how this all started. About 2 years ago, I did an Instagram live in desperation for wanting to support our men more. And I really spoke into the fact that we are in a critical state in terms of our male suicide, male mental health, particularly in New Zealand. And I didn't know how to help. I remember standing in my kitchen and thinking, had this really clear download come through of, you can do all that you want for the feminine, but if we are not supporting our masculine and moving forward together, we're not going anywhere. And for me as a practitioner that had predominantly only worked with women, I was like, what does that look like? How am I going to do that? And so I just did this live and I asked for support from either other practitioners or men, or like, how do you need support? Whatever it was. And a good friend of mine who I've known for many, many years and actually dated when I was 14. And then we've rekindled this beautiful friendship. He reached out to me, shared some of his story of being, his background is corporate, very corporate CEO. And as you can imagine, the stress, the anxiety, the pressure that came into those spaces, he shared some of his journey. And as our conversations continued to develop over a few months, we both realized we had this passion of advocating for wellness and going into the places that were most taboo, which, like you spoke about before, we're only just comfortable talking about mental health and spiritual health, let alone sexual health. And it's this whole area there is so much shame in, and I'm so drawn to bringing that shame and that shadow into the light and transmuting it and holding it in order for us to make great change in society. And so from that point, we decided to launch a podcast, a sex positive podcast, which is called Sex with My Ex, which is funny because we're exes. And
it's good that you're friends, though. And I mean, that's really that's another friends. Story in the West that we need to have, is that just because you break up with someone doesn't mean they're the enemy.
No, like I still get along a lot with a lot of partners I've had in the past, and we've developed this beautiful friendship. He's just he's such a great man in my life, and we've been on this journey. We've got 30 episodes now, and it's been over the last kind of year or so. And the more that I learned, the more that I realized the great need in the space, the more that the stories started coming to the surface of rape and of shame around sex, you know, and of separation from people and their pleasure. And that then became me being able to hold the space. And so in my personal business, and also in this business I now have with this friend of mine, we are holding space for sexual connection, connection to our own pleasure, because I really do believe that pleasure is a healing modality. And I say pleasure and intimacy coach because that can be yourself or obviously in relationships. However, when we can reclaim our sensuality and our sexuality, we're able to bring in a part of ourselves that has often been abandoned. You know, if you don't have a current relationship to your sexuality or pleasure, you're neglecting a part of yourself. And often through stories of trauma and all of those as well, you know, the stats for sexual assault are just horrific, and a lot of us have been impacted in some way. And so I just was drawn into it. And here I am as I've again continued to let it unfold. So I do one-on-one work. I do support work with couples as well. And my friend and I do hold some spaces together too. And gosh, it's been both devastating and so beautiful in me being able to hold the space, but the amount of people that come to me with sexual trauma stories, it's so sad. And again, it's a part of our society that we don't want to look at. And if we don't look at it, then nothing changes. Just like with suicide, if we don't talk about it, nothing changes. And I think we need to be done with that.
Yeah, you're making me, so much coming up. Trauma, you know, a lot of people define it, as me as well, as stuck energy in the body. And if it's sexual trauma, then that's blocking that, you know, your second chakra, your sacral chakra, that energy, that creative energy, the sexual mm-hmm. energy, which is about creation.
Yeah.
But it's also in the shadow side of that chakra is shame.
Yeah.
And then you're talking about pleasure, which deals with the third chakra, and, you know, being in self-empowerment and mm-hmm. in your mana, you know, this is where the fire lives and your solar plexus. And yeah, and pleasure, to me, it sounds like there's frequencies that we need to have access to, pleasure being one of them. But in our society, it's, you know, it's expressed quite, what's the word, hedonistically. It's like it's out of control in other areas, maybe because we've suppressed and tabooed one specific one, sex. We're doing it in everything else, gambling, we're doing it in other things. Some people are going down the sexual route of addiction. I'm talking about addiction here. But yeah, so there's frequencies we need to be exposed to. Some frequencies bring things into coherence and balance, like pleasure. And if you go too extreme or not enough, you get out of balance and those frequencies change. So yeah, all I'm hearing are vibrations, energy and frequencies that we need access to. And we need to be not taught, but reminded on how to access those frequencies.
Yeah. And through my own personal journey, and this is why I'm so passionate about it now, is that in my own reclamation of myself, you know, in my wholeness and my whole body, the epiphanies, the emotional releases that I now have in my own personal experiences and self-pleasure, and also being held in intimate spaces by partners or lovers, has been profound. Like, I have had huge crying, I've had screaming, like I've had big like pain moved through my body in it. It is literally a healing modality that we all have access to, that is free, that is here. And if we can empower more people, just like breath work, meditation, you know, all of these things, they're always available, but we don't know what we don't know. And especially when there's shame around those things, you know, especially when there's, you know, we can talk about breath work and meditation and all these other things. So people are like, oh yeah, cool. And then I'll be like, oh, and self-pleasure. They're like, oh, I'm like, why though? Why? Like, it's your body. Exactly. It's your body.
Because the parents said so, the church said so.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Not, and those things are fear-based, right? There are no love-based concepts that tell us that our sexuality is a bad thing. You know, as long as we're moving through it and having a connection to it that is in alignment with faith, with love, with our morals, with our values, well, then it's always there as an access point for us to learn more about ourselves.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny to talk about breath work and meditation. I teach 7 holistic lifestyle principles. Breath work is the 4th one relating to air. Meditation is mm-hmm. the 6th one relating to the moon principle and relaxation mm-hmm. and resetting yourself. And the 2nd one is based on water and also, that sexual energy. And I believe it's about being like water, being in flow and not stagnant and constantly moving. It's like a dance, you know?
Yes.
That energy, that creative energy is a dance, not just in that sexual context, but, we're talking about energy to manifest things in the world. Mm-hmm. It's a dance with the universe. It's a dance with other people's places and things. It's a dance with everything that's happening within and without, yeah, if you can think of it in that way, it's a constant back and, you know, back and forth interaction, but also inside, because you've got voices and tendencies inside, and you have to dance with those as well. And maybe that's why we find it difficult to dance with others, because we're stepping on our own toes, you know.
Absolutely. There's two things that have just come. I love that you've just had, like, mentioned this piece to this conversation. Manifestation in our bodies, okay, when we're talking about intimacy, pleasure. So the next topic for my podcast is actually how to manifest through orgasms, because I talk about it all the time. I have friends that will message me and be like, hey, in your next self-pleasure practice, can you please try and manifest me this?
Wow.
Because okay. I talk about it, because often, like, my practice involves meditation. It involves really, really consciously dropping into presence, into the body, and then bringing visualizations, feeling gratitude, doing all the things that we do in the process of manifestation, right? So there's that piece that I'm a really big advocate for when we're going into these practices consciously. And yeah, like you said, if, like, another avenue for that conversation is the relationships to our bodies. And, you know, when we can come into being okay, like, I often bring either couples or individuals into really simple pleasure practices, which is like massaging your own hands, which is eye gazing in the mirror. Those are very intimate acts. You know, it doesn't have to be the extreme version of sexual acts, very intimate, loving acts that can connect us to our bodies, because men and women and any other gender identifying, we have been conditioned to have so many shame stories around our bodies, right? And sexuality often is intermingled with our relationship to our bodies. And so the more that we can come into those in ourselves, yeah, of course, the deeper our connection to our physical, the more that we can be open to sensation, to experience, the more we listen. Like, I believe that coming into our pleasure more deeply allows us to be more deeply attuned to our intuition. Like, my body tells me everything now. I will have an opportunity, an experience, a person come, and my body will either say vibrationally yes or no, very clearly. And it's not like through intense pleasure. It is through sensations in the body, which has come through my deepening to that in myself. And I think that's available to everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I practice what you're talking about exactly, but through food.
Yes.
I'm very mindful and aware. I know I used to eat food very unconsciously. And now the textures, the flavors, the taste, the smell, and also preparing it. So I'll have coffee every now and then. I use a French press, and I've got this process of, you know, it's like a ritual.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
So just going through that whole thing. But also, for me, food is that practice.
It's pleasure. It's pleasure practice.
Yeah,
yes, pleasure practice. Absolutely.
So find your own pleasure practice. It may be related to sex. It may be, but as long as it's something to do with the body and your senses. I think it's the senses that we're becoming very numb to, especially with our smart devices and how we're putting everything online. Like, everything's online. Even our senses are online. Like, it's not, it's just one sense, basically. I think we're putting too much on the eyes and the ears, and we're not getting that, you know, the smell, the taste, and the big one is touch. The big one is touch. We are touching beings.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that too. And I, you know, it all comes hand in hand. I say to people, you know, in terms of this concept of pleasure, it's like, you know, noticing the colors of nature, the sound of the waves, you know, sunset, stars, you know, everything like that, holding hands, hugging people for longer. All of that is waking up our sensory body. And, you know, just to go back to my background in working with children, is that so many children now, and it's very natural up until about the age of 7, but the sensory bodies and cognitive bodies are not quite sinking in a lot of the time. And so that's the support. A lot of us have journeyed through that sinking in, either not completely or has been fractured in some way. So the deeper we can have conscious connection to our senses, then the deeper that we get to come into our wholeness, our fullness, and then that leads into gratitude, you know, and all those things, the connection to nature, connection to our feminine through Papa Tuanuku, you know, the pleasure and sensations is so wide, and obviously there's a sexual element, but it's not just that, you know, it's finding things that awaken our senses in so many different ways.
You know what, I have a feeling that's a big part in the people who are healers and teachers on the spiritual side of things. I don't think that's being spoken enough, like pleasure, and not so much in the sexual, but just pleasure in general. I've got a friend who did a workshop at Resolution Festival, and she's all about pleasure, woman's pleasure, and she brought that to light, that pleasure is everything, pleasure is life. Mm-hmm. And but I just don't hear that enough, you know. I hear about breath work a lot and meditation and sleep and all this stuff, so it's making me think I need to bring that more to my workshops as well.
We're shifting as a society that shame piece around it, right? And the perception of it, like this conversation we've just had. People that I can, you know, I can guarantee if you're honest with yourself, the first time you heard either one of us say intimacy or pleasure, you were like, ooh! And yeah. Then when you just allow yourself to sit and actually blow up what that is, and you're like, actually, this makes so much sense. And it's just my connotation, my perception of the language of something, but actually it's the full experience of life.
Yeah, and I just heard a part of me who likes to, you know, the skeptic part of me is like, bro, there's a lot of pleasure in the world. Haven't you seen people on their phones all the time and overeating and doing a lot of drugs and gambling and, you know, this thing called addiction? Have you heard of that, bro? That's not pleasure. That's out of control, unmindful, unconscious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we are talking about conscious pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And you spoke about fear then. There's a quote that you had, an image from Stephen Levin. To heal is to touch with love that which we previously touched with fear.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Conscious, absolutely. Which is the loving part, unconscious, which is the fearful part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do believe that every action, every thought, every movement we make in life is either one of two things. It's either through the lens of love or it's through the lens of fear. And when we can just begin that gentle dance out of the fear-based viewing of life into the love-based, and, you know, wherever you are in that part of that journey, and I know it can take time and energy to essentially rewire the brain, you know, when we're moving out of trauma responses and depression and anxiety and addiction, all these things, we're just alchemizing those fear-based beliefs into love-based affirmations. And, you know, the more that we can do that, the more that we find enlightenment, we find purpose and meaning and connection. And, you know, that's the movement we get to do. And, you know, I think this is a really nice time just to slip this in here. And I'm sure you advocate and speak about this so much. You know, there is no perfect healed version of us. There is no, like, I'm attaining this enlightened, like, being that's all love and light. Like, no, it's the awareness around it. It's the witnessing of maybe those fear-based beliefs coming up. But when we're doing that work, right, we catch it and we alchemize it. You know, I still have doubts come in. I will pop in and I'm like, oh, hello, stranger, like self-limiting belief. What are you doing in my brain? And I'll see it. Yeah. I'm like, oh, beautiful. Okay, something might have triggered me, or maybe like there's some hormones going on in my body right now. Maybe I'm doing some emotional processing. Maybe something's come up from a client and I see it. I'm like, okay, cool. Sit with it. Love on it. Love those parts of myself. Love the old versions of me that believe that, and then transmute it and let it go. You know, it's the witnessing that I think is the real, that's the mindfulness practice. It's not that I never have negative thoughts and I feel great all the time.
Yeah.
That's not real.
Is that spiritual bypassing? Or is that the word?
Totally. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, I used to, you know, suppress things and hold things back, and then I'd get this angry outburst. But, you know, now I might have that anger rise, but I just look at it, say, hello, yeah. I know you. It's okay. I've got this. Yeah, so, you know, there's frustration and annoyance. All these things still come up. I just have that gap in space to choose how I want to respond now, thanks to Qigong and all the lifestyle choices that I've made, which is great. And going back to, you're talking about love and fear, you know, A Course in Miracles talks about love and fear being opposites. To me, I like to think the opposite of fear is curiosity.
Oh, yeah, cool.
I see love as a connection that any frequency, so love is that binding, that bond, that relationship that any frequency goes over, good and bad, hate, fear, joy, peace. So to me, for you in your 10 years of depression, mine in my 16, the thing that got me out of it wasn't love. It was actually a curious mind, right? It was finally fed up, finally realizing I was alone, and I got to stop blaming other people and thinking it's someone else's responsibility to fix me. It was a curious mind that got me to overcome my fear, and then love helped me get through the rest of that journey. What do you think about that curiosity being?
I love that. You know, the phrase that just kept coming in the whole time you're speaking is, what else is possible? What else could be possible for me? What else could be the way that I could live? Like, if not this, what else? You know, and I really resonate to that as well. I remember being in these spaces of like, what else could be possible? This is my reality right now. I'm in it, but what is another version that I could just imagine right now, even if it's just a visualizing, you know, even if it's just, oh, imagine if, you know, I was feeling comfortable in my body a bit more than I am now. Imagine if the weight wasn't so heavy on me right now, what else could be possible? And that's what you're speaking into, right? That curiosity, that what if I could just learn a little bit more? What else is here for me? Oh yeah, I love that. I love that as a curiosity as a way, a lifeline to pull ourselves out of the real darkness, right?
Yes. But you know, I was stubborn for 16 years and I was curious. I was curious, but about the wrong things, right? I was looking into antibiotics. Yeah. I was looking into the food pyramid and grains and all this stuff. You know, I was looking in this direction, which is, you know, using my curious mind, but it was all wrong, false information. But I just, you know, eventually clicked, got around it and found my way. And that's my goal, is to help people find that way faster. To say, hey, that path you're going down, I don't think it's the right one. There might be other paths, you know, other paths are possible for you. Oh, this is awesome. I think our time is up. Is there anything you'd like to leave our listeners?
Oh, what I'm really passionate about right now is resurrection of the village, honestly. And I think if more of us can be creating spaces for us to come together in places of unity, the more that we're going to see shifts. I've really had this energy of collaboration and co-creation coming in with this particular time that we're in right now. You know, I feel as if the last year was about coming into some spaces of cohesion and still kind of finding some foundations. I feel like a lot of us were in a lot of shadow and like loneliness and finding ourselves prior to that. And it really feels as if we've got this foundation now of coming together. So my piece to leave with you guys is, I encourage you to find spaces or create spaces where we can come together. I feel as if we're in a real coming together period, whether that is in holistic spaces, whether that is like, you know, what I've just started doing recently is having regular potluck dinners at my house. Yeah. And my kids get to invite a friend each and we come together, you know, also all for the trauma work and all that kind of stuff. I do that as well. But my friends and I have been doing cloth swaps recently and plant swaps and stuff where we just come together in places more, and potentially in those places, we're going to talk about the things that are happening in our lives. And we might talk about things that are really deep and absolutely, but it's, I really want us to come together more in community. I have a vision of the resurrection of villages. You know, not that long ago, we bled together and we grieved together, you know, and we cooked food together and we raised our children together. And I think if more of us can be bringing that back together, you know, we look at even the devastation that is happening in our country right now, you know, it is reaching out and going, what can I offer us as a collective? You know, maybe that is being able to like donate some clothes to these people that have lost their homes. You know, maybe it is joining spaces where, you know, people are doing things to raise funds for charities or whatever it is. I have a desire and this real calling that wants to move through me of togetherness. I think that we all are going to benefit greatly from that.
Yeah, I mean, I totally resonate with that. I have many villages around New Zealand. I call them farmers markets. Those are that's my place of connection with people, with food, and there's usually music in the background. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a space where everyone comes together for a reason.
Yeah.
And if you can find that space, you know, find that value that you can all connect on. Yeah, here. I love it.
Yes, togetherness. It's the way forward.
Yeah, that's great. Chari, where can people find you online?
Beautiful. So my business is called Mama Chow Holistic Healing, MAMACHOW. And I also do online work. So I'm based in the Bay of Plenty. A lot of my work is in person. However, I do online work as well. My Facebook page is Mama Chow Holistic Healing. My Instagram is Mama Chow CEO. And that's actually the platform that I use the most. I share a lot on there. I share insights. I share a lot of vulnerability in those. I do a lot of sharing of content and spaces with other people that other people can use as resources or anything like that. And then we have the podcast, which is Sex With My Ex podcast. And the business I have with my co-host is called Ignite Sexuality. And our next push for that is online workshops for both individuals and couples in the sexual wellness space as well.
Oh, great. So so I'm not on Facebook or Instagram. I have a mock Facebook account just for one spirit tribe group.
Yeah,
now it sounds like I'll have to create a mock one just to follow some awesome people like you online. But that's awesome. Thanks for coming on. I mean, it was great. It was fun. And hopefully we'll catch up sometime, and maybe I'll come and see you and get a session from you and see what comes up.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And thanks for doing this work. I'm all about celebrating those of us that are just holding the fort and creating spaces for convos and healing. And, I feel a big shift. I feel change happening. And the more of us that can elicit hope through the things you're doing and the things I'm doing, the more we'll see that change happen quicker, right?
Yeah, I love that. Change is happening. Yeah, where do you want it? How do you want it? It's up to you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Ciao. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao, ciao. See?
Thank you, Chowie. That was an awesome chat. I really enjoyed it. And I just want to clarify, I think I got the chakra energies mixed up there, but your second and sacral chakra deals with the energies of pleasure and guilt, and your third solar plexus chakra deals with the energies of personal power, mana, and shame. And what we spoke about in this podcast is really true, that we are not seeing pleasure, conscious pleasure, being expressed in the world. So that deals with the creative energy, and it's a shame because that creative energy could create so much good in the world. But because we are not doing that, we're getting a lot of destructive energy come up. And also with the shame aspect of our conversation, it's a missing of mana in people. It's a missing of pleasure and a missing of personal power and authority, and being free to be yourself. So in the West, I would like to encourage each and every one of us to express our authentic selves, so we do not have that shame, and to seek pleasure in conscious and mindful ways. And thanks again, Chowie, for that beautiful, important conversation highlighting these ideas. And to learn more about Chowie and what she offers and the services she provides, you can go to her website, which is mamachowholistichealing.com. mamachowholistichealing.com. And yeah, she has a lot there going on in terms of helping you remove shame and gain more pleasure in your life. Highly recommend her. And that's it from me. So until next time, stay free, be yourself, know that you are loved, and that you are love. Kia kaha.